Welcome to the Aquarimax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 157, recorded April 2nd, 2013.
Weren't you going to say something in a different language?
Yeah, okay, I forgot last week. Okay, this week's language is Ahoy, mateys!
Which is Pirates?
Yeah, it's totally pirate. Did you know you can switch your Facebook language to pirate?
Well, only because Holly just told me.
Well, it's pretty cool. I've done it before.
Have you?
Then I switched it back. But
okay.
But so that counts as a language, right? Or I could just say, arr!
Okay, yeah.
How about that?
There you go.
Okay. So you have a couple tidbits for us this week before we start with contributors, yes?
Well, let's talk about our scary thing that happened yesterday. We were surprised to see that one of our goldfish, one of our younger, newer goldfish, Momo, was lying on top of some Anubias leaves.
Just laying there.
As if he were nearly dead. He was semi-comatose.
And he'd been just fine a couple minutes before that.
And so we were quite shocked, and I ran to grab my...
Because you just fed them some peas or something.
I had just given them some peas, and they were all eating them, and I...
And he was fine.
And I went and grabbed the aqua gloves, and you grabbed the aqua mat, or the dry mat. The dry mate, that's what it's called. The mat, it's called the dry mate.
The thing that soaks up the water so it doesn't get on the floor.
Yes. And I examined Momo to see if I could determine what was going on. Oh, and you went and got the flashlight so we could shine it down his mouth and into his pharynx.
He didn't look like he had anything in his... Like, because we thought maybe he was choking on a pea, because Russ had just fed them green peas.
Right. It seems kind of strange that a goldfish could choke, but they can. If you obstruct their mouth, then they can't get any free flow of water past their gills, and they can die. So, looked carefully there to see what was going on. Didn't seem like there were any issues. Moved him around a bit in the water, and he perked up a little, but I was worried. It seemed that he was in rather severe shock, as if he had knocked himself against the glass.
Kind of like a bird flying into your window.
Right, although we had never seen him knock himself into the glass, and I don't know why he would have done that.
It seems weird in the water that he would be able to do that at a velocity high enough to do that to himself.
A fast-swimming fish like a ballast shark or something? I did have a ballast shark kill itself by just...
But he's a fat, fancy goldfish.
Yeah.
And they just kind of mosey around the tank.
Right, you wouldn't expect him to be able to swim.
No, maybe he got in a fight with the other fat, fancy goldfish.
The goldfish aren't typically very aggressive with each other.
No,
so we were quite puzzled as to what was going on, but I just felt like the best thing to do was, for the moment, because he had picked up a little bit when I started moving him around, maybe something got dislodged, or maybe I was stressing
him out. Whatever was lodged got unlodged.
I don't know what was going on. So I felt like just letting him sit there for a few minutes and watching him, and over the next few minutes he started getting more active, and then he was as right as rain. Today he's fine. Fine as frog's hair, mate. And, you know, just doing really well. And so we were puzzled, but I guess all's well that ends well.
So we're glad he's okay, but it was kind of weird.
It was a puzzling and distressing episode, may I say?
Yes, you may say.
Okay. Let's move on to the next one.
Okay, which is slightly less puzzling and definitely less distressing.
Indeed. It's not distressing at all, in fact, but
in fact,
it is.
I don't know that it's particularly puzzling at all, is it?
A little puzzling, causing it, yes.
Okay. Oh, a wee bit of puzzlement.
And I may have mentioned this a little bit, but we have it's a 3-gallon aquarium. I use that in the loosest sense of the word.
So, loosely, meaning what?
In the sense that I didn't purchase an aquarium. I purchased a very large glass vase from IKEA.
Yes, that's true.
And set it up to be used as an aquarium. It has the proportions of a drinking glass.
So it's wider at the top than on the bottom.
So it's interesting and unique, and it's got opaiula in it. It's got lava rock in the bottom, for them to breed in, because they need the interstices and crevices of lava rock or something similar to... Interstices, the little spaces, we like to talk about interstices.
I love that you say interstices instead of little spaces. Okay, carry on.
Okay, so they require those to breed because it's part of their natural habitat.
What do they do in the little cracks? Like, they stay there forever?
No, but they spend long periods there, and then they periodically come up into surface pools to feed. But they, most of their breeding activity occurs down in these crevices, and so they require those to breed. It's, you know, it, that's how it works. So anyway, I've had Opayula in there for years, and occasionally they breed, but lately they've just been exploding in terms of population. It's crazy. I haven't seen anywhere near this many. I think in the last 6 months they've reproduced more than they ever have.
Wow.
In the past, however long it's been, 6 years, maybe seven, eight, I don't know how many years.
What do you think, what has changed?
That's what I'm not sure about. I guess I've changed their diet a little bit, I've increased the salinity a little bit, but not in a way that correlates very closely with this recent population explosion. So now I'm going to have to sell some, because I think it may have partly to do with the fact that I did remove some.
Maybe they felt like they had more space to have more babies?
Yeah, I may have gone under the carrying capacity, so now I'm worried that they're going to exceed the carrying capacity now. An overshoot is what that's called. Mm-hmm. In, you know, the when you're talking about populations, it's often termed overshoot, and it can often result in a precipitous drop in population as the resources of the ecosystem deplete rapidly. So
we'll just have to sell some.
Yeah, I guess I'll have to, because it's crazy. I mean, just in the last month or so, probably three females have released young, if not more, maybe four females, and there are at least two females that are buried right now in there.
How many young do they release at a time?
And not very many for shrimp. I mean, maybe 20, 25 is a fairly big lot of them.
How much do, how many do other shrimp species do?
Some can do hundreds. Some, wow, maybe even more than that. A lot of the commonly kept shrimp are certainly over 25. But at any rate, they're such diminutive shrimp that they don't produce as many, and they don't reproduce nearly as quickly, but for Opayula, they're reproducing very quickly. And this container, I estimate, I started out with about 40 in the container,
mm-hmm,
and I think I probably have 120 or more now,
wow,
in there. I'm not sure. There's so many of them. So anyway, it's nice that they're reproducing so much, but I do want to avoid an overshoot.
Thin them out a little bit?
Right, something like that. All right. Shall we move on to our guests for today, our contributors,
let's,
I mean?
Let's see who we have. We have Bob in Boston, and Matt in Perth in Australia, and Tony in New York.
Oh, and I think Dan from Washington.
Oh, in there did somewhere. I miss that one?
Yeah, he's in there somewhere, too.
Oh, okay, I see. Your note's very short, so
sorry.
I missed it.
Sorry.
Alrighty, so Bob says he's definitely interested in the t-shirts.
Yes.
Yay, t-shirts.
And he's not the only one. Several other people have indicated that.
Oh, have they?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So we'll have to get a design going then.
Yeah, we'll have to get that out.
Popular demand.
So thank you all to those of you who have responded in the affirmative about the t-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have proof of concept.
He has a note for Matt, who's building his stand.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for Matt and for anybody else who's interested. He says, I'm not qualified to critique his drawing, Matt's drawing, but there's a video by a guy in Nova Scotia that may help. His name is Joey, and he's done dozens of do-it-yourself videos for the Mechanically Challenged. I know this isn't what Matt asked for, but maybe it will help. So he sent us the link. This video, he's making his own stand in the video.
Mm-hmm.
He says he also has other videos on how to build your own tank and make your own fish food.
Yeah, so we'll put the link on the show page so you can, mm-hmm, check it out.
And thank you for sending it.
Yeah, thank you, Bob, for sending that. I've begun to view the video. I haven't finished it yet, but I've viewed the first part of it. It does look informative, so it may be of use to Matt, and even if it isn't, it may be of use to many other of those of you who would like to try your hand at building a stand.
Alrighty. And speaking of stands, we'll go to Matt next. And he says, I have noticed so far none of my fish from the 4-foot tank are growing any bigger in the 6-foot tank, and all of them have larger maximum sizes than their current size. So he switched over fish, yeah,
right,
to a different tank. Okay. I know from experience fish tend to grow to the tank, not to their potential maximum size. So my question is, do fish have a growth period earlier in life, and after that they cannot get any bigger?
Complicated question.
Does it depend kind of on the species?
It depends partly on the species. It depends partly on the environment, because the size of the tank is not always the issue, but it can and does contribute to the limits of growth of an individual fish, but it's not the only factor. For example, I've heard or read of lab studies where they've taken fish, certain fish, I think channel catfish was one of the ones they used, and they put them in tanks and just made sure the water quality was impeccable by changing insane amounts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fish grew so big.
Was it just kind of like a flow through all day or something?
Something like that. I don't know exactly what they did, but they made sure the water quality was really good. And the fish just kept growing, even though the tank was quite small, mm-hmm. until the fish were big enough they were hitting both sides of the tank, essentially. I mean, they're very big.
They moved them then?
I hope so. But I wish I could recall what publication that was in, but it's been a long time since I read it. But anyway, so if you make sure the water quality is really high, you, of course, can increase the potential of the fish to grow,
mm-hmm.
To some degree, at least, independent of the size of the tank. But the size of the tank can play a role. Certain fish, like, it seems to me that male guppies, in my experience, reach a certain size, and then they don't seem to grow past that size. That's an example of one fish that doesn't. But there are other fish that do.
Female guppies just keep growing?
Female guppies get quite a bit bigger, and I would hesitate to make a definitive statement about that. I'm not sure. But
I'm just asking because you mentioned specifically male guppies. So.
Yeah. Well, male guppies, about the time they reach sexual maturity, seem to stop.
They're done.
I haven't performed any precise measurements on that.
Those are your observations.
That's my just anecdotal observation. While the females, once they reach sexual maturity, continue to grow.
Interesting.
And so they will continue to produce broods of young as they grow and get bigger and bigger, and they can get considerably bigger than the males. So there's one observation there. I've also seen fish that I feared were stunted. For example, years ago, it must have been 10 years ago or more, when I spawned some zebra danios, and I kept them in a small tank and didn't really have a place to put them. There weren't very many of them. There were like 16 or 15 or something, something like that. And they were in a fairly small tank, and I was worried they were getting stunted, so I started farming them out to other places when I could.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hadn't grown for a while, and I feared it was because of the size of the tank. As soon as I moved them to other tanks, boom, they just shot up. Grew very quickly, and presumably, although this could have to do partly with water quality, the size of the tank could have something to do with it. And as we've spoken about before, with fish in a particular situation, that growth hormones of other fish could be stunting them. When you remove them from the place where they, the contact with those growth hormones, whether that be through water changes or separating them or both, that can often have an effect. Like we did with our bettas.
Right.
As soon as we move them into jars, they begin to grow faster because they weren't in the same tank competing for food, and perhaps the hormonal issue could be an issue.
Yeah.
Another thing that I've noticed, the little betta we talked about recently that was stunted and seemed to be stunted.
She just wasn't growing.
She was very, very small, and as soon as we moved her to a tank where she was getting all the food she wanted and she wasn't with other bettas, she shot up and is now very nearly the size of some of these fish.
Are you going to put her back in there with the rest of them? Or?
As soon as she's big enough to eat with them, and she may already be, I need to test and make sure she can eat the same food because I've been feeding her smaller grain food. But as soon as I can make sure she's eating the same, she can eat the same stuff they can, I'll put her back in.
So as far as his question, when he says, do they have a growth period earlier in life and then after that they can't get any better? I mean, it sounds like they're growing and then they stop for a while because of conditions and then conditions change and then they start growing again. So
in some cases, and I would, with goldfish, for instance, and I've seen this too with goldfish, you keep goldfish in one tank, keep it there for a year, and the goldfish may not grow as much, move it to another tank and it begins to grow very quickly. So
there's a lot of different factors that go into the conditions.
A lot of different factors that include species, include water quality, include food availability and competition, tank size, all of these things. So it's difficult to give him a direct answer, except for that it's a multifaceted issue. Can I go with that?
You can go with that. Should we take a break?
Hello, this is Ken Jones of the Prince of Ponds and Pet Tech Podcasts, and you're listening to one of my favorites, the Aquarimax Show.
Now there are more ways than ever to be a part of Aquarimax. In addition to downloading the podcast on iTunes, you can follow us on Twitter, like our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel, or call us anytime and leave a phone message at 801-477-0629, or just email us at info@aquarimax.com. And now, back to the Aquarimax Audio Show, the podcast with Pisces Now.
Okay, we have a Facebook comment from Dan in Washington now. He sent a photo.
Yeah, he did, so you can check that out. We'll put a link to that. on the show page as well.
It's on the Facebook page.
Yes, but we'll put it on the show page. Okay. He says, my Anubias is blooming again. I do nothing special for this plant. Aquarium light is on about 16 hours a day, turned on when I get up, off when I go to bed. And he's sent a nice picture of it. You can see the bloom pretty clearly in this picture. It's nice.
And it looks kind of like a lily for Easter.
Yeah, and they're actually related.
Anubias
and lilies. They're related. I wanted to just point out that Anubias, and we haven't done a show on Anubias for a long time, but they are a very hardy plant, and they will bloom in almost any conditions, it seems like, which is great. Like he says, Dan says he doesn't do anything special for the plant, and we have an Anubias that for a long time had nothing but ambient light on it in our frog Hito's tank. And this is an African clawed frog, which can eat other plants, and actually does. I put some...
frog bit.
What did I put? Some frog bit in there? Yeah, I
think we were laughing about the name because he was a frog and he bit it.
I've seen him biting it. He kind of chewed it to pieces, so that didn't really work very well. But the Anubias does fine in there, and we didn't have anything but ambient light on that tank for months. I don't know exactly how long, but it was months, and we had Anubias blooming in there.
Most of the time we've
lived here. I don't think it's been quite that long, because I remember having the T5s on there, and then before that we had that... there's the one fluorescent strip
on
there.
Seems like it's been a long time since he had a light, though.
So it actually hasn't been that long, but it's been months. But anyway, the Anubis was blooming in there. And then Dan goes on to say that he got it a lot smaller than it was in the pick, and it probably doubled, at least doubled in size over the past year. He stuffed the roots into the hole of a fake tree root ornament, and though the leaves have some yellowing in them, the plant's obviously pretty happy. Yeah, and I love these plants. I don't know. Can't say enough good about them because they're so simple, so undemanding, and they're nice looking plants too. Check that out, and thank you, Dan, for sending us that pick of your Anubias.
Again, Facebook contributions are always welcome.
Indeed.
Okay, our last contributor today is Tony from New York. He'd sent the
book review.
The book review from
Diana Wallstedt's book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said he redid the sound on it.
Yeah, so we're going to try to... And the sound came out tolerably well last time in the podcast. But in case you're listening to this, couple weeks in the future, you didn't listen to it right away, you'll probably hear the improved version that he sent. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to go back and listen to
it. Are you going to just republish that as a separate thing, or are you going to put it back in the old...
I'm going to try to put it in the file so that anybody who downloads it subsequent to, in a few days, they will get the updated version.
Okay. And he had a comment, the kids answered the questions last week.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were guests again. And he said, it was all kinds of fun to hear the kids fielding questions. Actually, it sounds to me like they really know their stuff, which is very nice of him to say.
Yeah.
And they had a good time.
They have some, being surrounded by fishy things all the time. They do pick up a few things, don't they?
It's true.
Yeah. Oh.
They like it.
There were a couple of other things I wanted to say.
Oh, so
thanks,
say
Tony,
them.
Once again for doing that. That was a great review. I wanted to say that I've noticed my red cherry shrimp are reproducing more than I had thought. I hadn't seen very many young in there, but lately I've seen several juveniles today. I saw three juveniles within a small area, a few cubic inches, and so it looks like it's working. They're doing better.
That's good.
And
good.
That tank that they're in, which has the frog bit up at the top to combat the algae, I don't really see any of that awful blue-green algae scum.
No, that's pretty much gone.
Yeah. It's just adding the frog bit has been the only thing that I've really modified, as well as increasing the fertilizer a little bit to feed those plants. But basically potassium and iron I've increased, and the tank's doing pretty well. It looks a little wild right now. I need to trim some things and move some things around, but in terms of the algae, it's doing very well. So it's been nice to see that.
It's useful stuff, that frog bit.
Indeed it is.
Hito liked it too.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes.
Well,
do you have anything else today?
I did have one more thing. I wanted to say.
Okay, say one more thing.
But regrettably, I've entirely forgotten it.
Oh, well, don't say it then.
I didn't bring it up because you were in the middle of talking. I didn't want to interrupt, and now it's
I'm sorry.
Quite gone.
You have no idea, dear listeners, how often that happens. we start talking at the same time, and he says, go ahead. And I said, no, you go ahead so you don't forget. He says, no, you go ahead. So I say my thing, and by the time we get done with it and go to his thing, it's gone.
Not always.
Not always, but quite frequently. So you have to go first next time.
Well, I'll try to remember what it was. Okay. But, yeah, I think we should probably go ahead and sign off then.
Okay, signing.
So, may the fish
be with you.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.